Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Roker Report podcast in association with Volks Brewery. Sunderland Ladies have smashed all ahead of themselves this season and are sitting pretty at the top of the league. To discuss a remarkable season so far is a lady responsible for making sure no goals go into our net. It's Sunderland Lasses keeper, Claudia Moan. How are you doing? Are you well?
I'm all right, yeah.
Almost got your name a bit wrong there.
People always do.
I did have to ask if it was Claudia or Claudia, but Claudia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, fantastic. So as I've said, remarkable start of the season. Time to get excited yet, or are you keeping your feet on the ground?
Definitely keeping feet on the ground. Start of the season's went really well for me and for the whole team.
Yeah.
Especially with being unbeaten and only drawing one. So nothing really bad can be said about it.
Yeah. How many games is it now unbeaten in all competitions? 10?
10, I think, yeah.
10?
Yeah.
Losing count.
Yeah, we've had two cups.
Two cup games, Burnley and...
Three cup games.
Barnsley, three, yes.
Yeah, Newcastle was the other one.
Oh, Newcastle,
I forgot about,
yes. How could I forget about that one?
Three
Jeez.
Cup games and then eight league games, so 11.
So 11?
Yeah, yeah.
My fault, I said 10. So I'm getting it wrong. It's your second spell at Sunderland, though, isn't it? You have been here before.
Yeah, for Sunderland Development.
How different does it feel compared to the last time you were here?
I mean, the last time I was here, which was not last season, the season before.
Yeah.
It's a massive difference because, I mean, we were training at Bullocksteads, which is where... the first team trained as well as us. And then we also, if we had a home game, played on the same pitch. So first team and development, like, ripped the whole grass up during the week. And then we had to start a play there on the Sunday. So conditions have been much, much more better.
Better. That makes sense.
But,
that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Improved.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes. That's
massively.
Yeah. You're at the academy at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah.
Are you finding that's just much better being in the academy? Do you feel much more part of the club being part of there? Because I think a lot of people were surprised that you weren't there originally.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at other teams and they're going, like, it's getting into winter and they're going still out on 3G outside or on the grass outside. And we have the privilege to be inside. So it might be a bit nippy in the barn sometimes, but it's not like... torrential rain or anything, so it's really nice facility for us.
And for people who have, like, maybe not been in the academy, which is, to be honest, many of us, what are the kind of benefits of an academy, the kind of Sunderland size for a ladies team, where maybe, you know, with all due respect to other ladies teams, they maybe don't have that level of facilities. Some of the men's team don't have that kind of facilities. What are the benefits of the academy?
Yeah, when you walk in, I mean, you go past, like, other coaches, like, from other teams of Sunderland, and it's just like, It's like being a part of something much more than just the ladies' team. So it just feels like something better than what you say other teams have. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, I suppose one of the big differences that I've noticed since the start of the season is we have that hashtag, don't we? That one club, our club sort of thing. And I think that's why a lot of people were quite surprised that, you know, previously there wasn't training at the academy for the girls' teams.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're having a slogan like that, you've kind of got to have something like that. But it is surprising how when you look across the rest of the country, that doesn't always happen. And it sometimes does feel a bit of a detriment towards whichever particular team it may be. So it is good that they've got them on board. But I mean, when you would have been here the first time, obviously part of the development squad, but... with that as well, you also had Ellis Short there, or the previous regimes. I don't think Stuart took over by that point.
No.
Have you felt like a difference coming into the club? I mean, obviously Stuart was here a season before you came back, but do you feel like there's a bit more focus? You have a little bit more leeway, there's a little bit more notice of the ladies team compared to what there was maybe when there was previous regimes here?
100%. I mean, I don't know, when I was here last time, I'm unsure if Sunderland, like the one club, our club,
yeah,
were as promoting for the ladies team on like social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure of that. Maybe they might have been like for...
I think it's been a relatively fresh thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, like maybe they might have been for like, say, that goal Stan scored.
Yeah.
I think that might have like got some media attention from the men's, but I don't think... I didn't actually see it.
Yeah.
So from my personal view, didn't seem much. But this season, I mean, we've got Jess Brown getting goal of the month.
Yeah.
And that's been, and then Neve's goal at the weekend.
That's got to get goal on, of the month. Yeah.
Sunderland men's Twitter. So yeah, it's much, much better.
Feels much more involved, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like it's, it feels like there is a nice wealth of information you can get from a competitor, what maybe happened previously, but there can still always be more.
Yeah.
There can still always be more, 100%. I wanted to kind of look at your own career so far, your own season, should I say, so far. You started the season technically as backup to Alison. She unfortunately broke her arm in the Huddersfield game. Now, the Huddersfield game, for people who may not be aware, the people who are aware, was obviously huge at the time. I think Huddersfield were top. I think it was on goal difference or something along that lines at that point. Huge game. We went 1-0 down at halftime. We made a lot of changes, well, a couple of changes at halftime. They totally turned it around, but she broke her arm in about the 60th minute,
yeah,
I think. So you're coming on for like the last 30 minutes in a huge game. I think we were talking sort of off air. It was 1-1 at the time. What's it like to kind of come on with half an hour to go in a huge game? It's like the first game of the season. You're not expecting to come on. How do you kind of mentally prepare yourself for that?
I mean, Mel, when Claudia get warmed up, and like, because usually when keepers go down, you don't expect them to stay down.
Yeah.
Well, that's from my experience.
No, I agree.
So I'm like, oh, like, and she went, go get warmed up. So like, I ran down at the side of the pitch and like, I just stood and like looked at Alison. I was like, oh, she actually is like really hurt. And like, I went back up and she's like, is she all right? I went, I don't think so. And then like, it was a bit of a panic at first for me, because I mean, I did not expect it. I just expected to get back up, just a little, like, I just thought it was a knock.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just had to quickly get shin pads on, gloves on, just get on there. But I think from my performance from that game, I just had to go on all confident. Like, I was nervous, very nervous.
Yeah.
But like, I just had to do what I can. Like, I couldn't have went on the pitch and like backed off.
Yeah.
Like, so there was times where I think I've put off their attackers, because it's not like Huddersfield, it might have been 1-1 and we might have won 4-1. But it wasn't like Huddersfield didn't come forward.
No.
Because they did, they kept going. And there was some times when they've put the ball in and I've came for it, but I haven't got it, but I've put them off from getting anything from it. And I think that me doing that for myself has built my confidence up from there.
Sometimes getting your first save, isn't it? It's like
when
like a young debutant comes on and you think, like, let's say a 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, you might think, oh, they've been highly rated, but what they're going to be like. And then they got the first touch of the ball, and they always repeat that, don't they? As soon as you got that first touch and you think, oh, okay, that's done and over with. It's kind of like me at the moment, my first exam in uni. I'm just waiting to get that one out of the way so the rest of them don't seem as nervous at the same time. But I mean, it's like that in any game, isn't it? I suppose when you come on, and but to come on in a game like that, you can't really mentally prepare yourself for it, can you?
No.
You're meant to professionally, but it's really difficult to come on with half an hour and say, right, you've got to keep a clean sheet or concede as little as you can and collect stuff as much as you can. But then you come out of the game and you've won 4-1. Huge game. And I think although the team was playing quite well at that point and you would have not expected to win but hoped to win, that does seem to have changed the dynamic completely, where we look at kind of almost dominant and unbeatable. But how much did that benefit you, that last half an hour? How much confidence has that given you for the games that you've played since?
I mean, I came off the pitch relieved. I was like, I was quite thankful that I didn't concede because it's a massive like downer for me, conceding.
Yeah.
It's like, even if we won, I hate conceding.
Yeah.
So So to come off there without conceding, but to still win, it was a good start for me. I think even if we won and I did concede, I wouldn't be as confident going into the next game.
Yeah.
But the fact that I came on and I did my job and I did what I had to do made me more mentally prepared for the next game.
It's almost like you felt you could do it. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah. And you kind of need that, don't you? No matter how much you prepare through your life. The big thing for me, and I'm trying to put myself in your shoes here, which is, it's kind of hard because you don't want to see me playing goals. I'm really bad. But in front of you, you've got Charlotte, who I know she's 25, but vastly experienced over a number of different teams and a number of different roles and a number of different positions, really. And you've also got Grace, who's obviously massively experienced as well. How much did they help being part of that, like the people that are just in front of you, them being so experienced, new coming on for your first game of the season? How much does that help having someone like that in front of you?
Massively. I need them too, because like, as you say, they're very experienced. Mm-hmm. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about, and they can help me as much as I try to help them.
Yeah.
So it's not just me communicating from the back. It's also them too, whether it's across the back line or talking to me or talking to the whole team. They're very strong.
Charlotte's got a strong character, hasn't she?
Yeah.
Like you can like, very. I mean, I was at the game against Stoke on Sunday and you can really hear her like bark and orders.
Yeah.
Whereas Grace is kind of like really chatty and really talkative in person to speak. But on the pitch, she's maybe not as loud as Charlotte.
Yeah, but
you can see that she's speaking throughout the game sort of consistently as well. And it must be like, I just thought, looking back when you watch it, like you must have so much confidence that you've potentially got the best two centre-halves in the league right in front of you. And I don't think there's many people that could disagree with that.
Yeah. No. Charlotte's definitely the more vocal.
The vocal.
But
one.
For Grace, like if I'm talking to Grace or if someone else is talking to Grace or if Grace is talking to someone else, like she uses hand gestures and that's when I know that she always seems to be listening.
Yeah.
Because she always like puts a thumbs up or she knows like she's just listening.
Yeah.
But Charlotte's always trying to get on the ball as well. Like just constantly, it's like she just wants to get the ball, get a goal, and
15-minute hat trick from centre half the other week, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think
unbelievable.
All three came from corners?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, you kinda complain with that. And she got one, was it against Hull? Free kick as well?
Free kick, yeah.
For goal scoring centre half. Not too bad.
No.
Talking of, I think I was speaking to Niamh the other day. I did a little piece with Niamh and she was also discussing how, you know, not just the experience in front of yourself, sort of Grace and also Charlotte in front of you, but like the experience throughout the team. And she mentioned Kira, she mentioned Melanie as well. She said how important it is to have people like that. That is, you don't have to ask for advice. They'll give you it regardless. Yeah. And it seems that there's a really nice blend through the team at the moment of like really sort of youthful, almost inexperienced players. Alongside people who've been there, done it, bought the t-shirt and wore it twice.
Yeah.
Such as Kira and Molly's sort of 50th appearance the other day. Do you find that the squad has a really good dynamic from a personal level?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you've got Niamh and Jess who are making a big impact on the team only at 16.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kira who's been there for how many seasons, still making a big impact on the team. So, and then there's all those... players in between all them, everyone's got different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what helps the team, like, because it's a different team than what it was like two seasons ago.
Yes,
or even last season.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to have a mixture of like different experiences, different personalities, and just different ages of people.
When it comes to that sort of stuff as well, and I've asked sort of numerous goalkeepers throughout the years, I've always found it quite interesting, right? It might sound like a daft question, so forgive me. But goalkeepers have one position in the team. And obviously at the moment, Alison's injured. So automatically you're going to be in there, but Alison is going to come back. I don't know how far away she is, but I'm assuming not too far away.
She's got a cast on now, but she can take it off.
She can take it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was at training on Tuesday doing some footwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's close.
Yeah.
So then you get that competition in place. And goalkeepers always seem to have a really good bond, you know, the goalkeepers union and all that kind of stuff. However, when you're kind of competing against each other, how do you keep that competition healthy without kind of stepping on each other's toes? Because that must be quite an interesting dynamic, because you spend all the time together. You're probably best mates with each other. I know a lot of goalkeepers that hang out all the time together. But then at the same time, you're both vying for that one place. How do you keep it sort of healthy?
Well, I think me and Alison would like we encourage each other.
Yeah.
In when Alison was in training, yeah. Like we encourage each other in a match. Like if Alison made a good save or did something well, I'd like, I don't know if she heard me or not. I don't know if anyone heard me, but I'd be saying, "Oh, well done," and all this. But like in training, like if one of us makes a good save, then we're like, it's the other person saying, "Oh, well done."
Yeah.
And I think that just keeps us going. Because, yeah, you can't, with two goalkeepers, you can't have a negative relationship. It needs to be positive from both sides. So you go forward together, not just the person who's actually in the team, in the starting 11.
Yeah. Wanted to speak a little bit about sort of Chris. How has he helped you improve your game, Chris Wilson?
Well, I've had Chris a few times as a goalkeeper coach.
Okay.
So I've had him when I was at Gateshead College.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since then, because that would be like end of 2015, going into 2016.
Yeah.
Both of us has improved, like as a goalkeeper and Chris as a coach.
Yeah.
Both are definitely more experienced now. But I've also had him at Newcastle when I was there.
Don't swear in the podcast.
And then I had him at Sunderland Development. So I've had a few seasons with Chris, and I think this one's definitely the best season so far within training, training wise, because it's more
like a higher level.
Yeah, definitely. Like it's more testing as well.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the season I had at Sunderland Development is quite hard because we're on like mud constantly, a boggy pitch constantly, and we're using these lights that were like generated that wouldn't even give you any part of the pitch. It would shine.
Uh-huh.
Like as big as this room, like it would not give off much light. So that was, I think it was a struggle for the team and for Chris to do any drills when really you couldn't see, especially in the winter because it's pitch black. It was quite hard. But now, because we're in the barn, the facilities are there, it's much easier. It's just so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And like Chris gives me a workout. So like after I'm sweating.
Yeah.
And like I'm ready for when Mel needs me to come into the drill.
Yeah. With Chris as well, you've mentioned obviously you've been with him quite a while. So do you enjoy the fact that you feel like you've almost sort of had your football and education grown up with him, if that makes any sense? Would you prefer to have someone sort of from start to end, or is it sometimes nice to have someone different in now and again, or has it been really beneficial for you personally to have him so often?
I feel like it's, for me to come back into Sunderland, much better knowing who my goalkeeper coach is going to be.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would have came in as confident when I was first training with the team.
Yeah.
But I came in and it was like, it was just, oh, how have you been? And then like, let's just get back into where we left off, really.
Like meeting with a mate over a pint after a couple of years. Yeah.
Same with Craigsy. He's just always alongside Chris as well.
Yeah.
And Craigsy was with me at Newcastle the first time I was at Newcastle.
Swearing again. We talked a little bit off air about sort of goalkeeping idols, and you said there's no one specifically that you sort of looked at directly, but I suppose, I mean, in what I do sort of interviews, I'll listen to sort of other interviews to see which bits I can take from other people and put my own sort of stance on it.
Yeah.
But is there any particular goalkeepers, either past, present, or you know, people that you play alongside or have played against, that you sort of look at as people that you not aspire to be, but you could take things from, and there's certain things that you kind of admire about them?
I think there's different parts of different goalkeepers that I think I would like to be able to, I would aspire to be able to be the same as them with. So like for, I'd say De Gea.
Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, I think he's a good keeper all round.
Yeah, he's fantastic, but
For him, like for me, his specifics are like when he comes out and the way he like for 1v1s, like he's good with getting into where he needs to be and he's good with stopping them kind of.
Positioning's great, yeah. Very good position.
Pickford. Yeah. I mean, not just because he's from Sunderland.
Because he's class.
I mean, I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's great that he's a Sunderland, yeah, a Sunderland boy, nice, and he's it? Like, yeah, went to the World Cup and all that. But his throws and his distribution are really good as well.
It's an attacking force, isn't it? Yeah. Almost. It's like, it's a whole new dynamic, yeah, in this game.
Like, it just, all you need to do, one big ball forward and it's a possible chance on goal. So I definitely like see like that part of his game.
I'm pleased you said Pickford. I was hoping you were going to say Pickford, but I had to make sure. With training and stuff like that, one thing that surprised me when I first started really getting involved and listening, and I don't know why it surprised me. I know that it sounds really stupid because I know there is a difference, unfortunately, in terms of pay and levels in terms of that.
Yeah.
So therefore, I know a lot of you also have to have a job on the side of that, whereas maybe the men's team, you know, fortunately for them, don't have that. But because of that, what you do get is you get less training than maybe the men's team does.
Yeah.
I think, I could be wrong here, but is it 2 hours per, like 4 hours per week you get training? Is that right? Give it to twice, yeah, a week, isn't it? Something where, like that.
Start at 7:30,
yeah,
finish 9:00, so...
Even like slightly less than that.
Yeah.
Is it difficult or are you kind of used to that?
I mean, I'm at uni and I do the uni football.
Yes.
So maybe, I, yeah, have the extra training session on the Monday.
So you don't feel like you're losing out on anything or anything
and
like
I
that?
And I have S&C,
yeah,
with them as well. So, I mean, because uni football is different to Sunderland.
Yeah.
So training-wise, it's going to be different. And I'm not, because there's no goalkeeper coach at uni.
Yeah.
So where I'm getting my specific training is at Sunderland,
yeah,
which is... I mean, and it's not a given time of how long I'm going to get for when Mel needs me in their drill. So it could, yeah, just be half an hour or it could be 45 minutes for how long I get with Chris. So I think there could be more.
Yeah.
So, for Sunderland ladies, could definitely have more training hours. Yeah. Definitely.
Do you think with sort of the World Cup in the summer, it definitely felt like there was a change in shift,
yeah,
between people who paid attention to the women's game,
yeah,
to the point where like it got people weren't calling it the women's game, they were just calling it the match,
yeah,
which is kind of what I was doing like during the World Cup. And you know, I'd just be, oh, you're watching the match tonight, Dad? Yeah, yeah, no problem. It wasn't the, I was watching the women's football or the lasses. But I was speaking to Jill Scott about the shift in, obviously she's at the peak and has been for a while, but even she said she could feel like the change in grassroots really is changing like the dynamics at the top as well. She's, I think her quote was, anything that comes from anything that changes at the top comes from the bottom, and yeah, it doesn't change without it. As someone maybe sort of in the middle of that, do you feel like a huge shift since the summer? Do you feel that personally, that there has been a, not just a rise in interest, but a rise in levels?
There's definitely been so much more interest in women's football, whether that's people wanting to get involved or that's supporters. But I mean, I feel like that happens with the Olympics, with any big event that goes on,
yeah,
which is good because whenever like the Women's World Cup on, there should be a
like a boost.
A boost.
Of, yeah.
That's when people should be promoting it the most. Like that's the time, that's the peak time for people to be like, right, I want to do this,
yeah,
or I think my little girl might enjoy this. I mean, it shouldn't just be like one boost in every 4 years.
Yeah.
So it should be all the time. Yeah, that's why there needs to be more media coverage on women's football in general, not just Sunderland ladies.
Yeah.
Coverage in general, because there could be someone who could be like the greatest women's footballer in the, yeah, in the country.
Right down the road from you, or, yeah, a couple of doors down.
But because, yeah, there's no media coverage or no one's showing it to them,
yeah,
or getting them involved in it, they're not going to be.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, really, because there needs to be more done about it.
I think like one thing that I'm enjoying as a fan, for example, I wish I'd seen someone like Lucy Bronze,
yeah,
like at a peak. If I'd gone and seen Sunderland, say what, 7 years ago, instead of just going to see the men's team, I might have seen Jill Scott,
yeah,
Steph, Lucy, other Lucy, Demi, another one. And I feel like, I mean, I was saying before, the game against Stoke on Sunday, when Neve scored that second goal, and Mel probably won't like me for saying this, but I felt like I was watching someone who I might be seeing on an international stage,
yeah,
in a few years' time. There's kind of a niceness about that.
Yeah.
I feel like in the Northeast, football's just football. Like, I think that there's always been a level of it there, and I definitely feel like it has increased. But I think you're totally right. I think it's all about sustainability, and I think you're right in what you're saying, that sustainability needs to come from coverage,
yeah,
and known who's who, which is why we do podcasts, you see. But for you personally then, away from maybe the game, what's your ambitions moving forward? Maybe not even just for the season, just in general. Do you set yourself targets or do you just take game by game?
I want to be able to say that football is my job.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say that. I don't want to rely on a job that I wouldn't be enjoying.
Yeah.
So I want to keep going. Now, I do, the first thing I've always had since I've started football is I want to get to somewhere where I feel like I've actually achieved.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to play for Sunderland Ladies first team, I've 100% achieved. That's where, I mean, I was born in Sunderland. I was at the centre under 12s and eventually I've got there. But I want that to be more.
Yeah.
So
feels like you've hit that step.
Yeah.
Where you've trained and trained and you want to get to that level where you're playing sort of every week for a team.
Yeah.
You are doing that. You're doing it for your hometown team. But then what's the next step after that?
Yeah.
Good way to be. I try to do that with podcasts, but then I just hit one point and I just stay the same. When you were growing up, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. But which team did you watch growing up? Who do you support?
It was Sunderland, but mm-hmm. I had a little stage in my life where it was Man U and Man City at the same time.
I'm so pleased you said someone other than that lot.
No. Yeah, it was Man City at the same time. So I'd be walking around in either a Man City strip or a Man United strip at the same time, which when I look back at it now, a bit controversial.
Yeah, very controversial.
But I mean, they were both great teams at the time. I mean, Man City still is, but Man United's had a bit of a...
Yeah, they've had a bit of a dip.
Yeah.
I'd switch for some then, mind, to be honest. I wouldn't mind, but I was going to say, was it good Man City or bad Man City? Well, not as good Man City. Although they've been good for about a decade now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Time flies, I'm feeling old.
I mean, Ryan Giggs was still playing. He was my favourite player for Man United at the time. And then Sean Wright Phillips was my favourite player for Man City. Yeah. I don't know.
That's left wing. Yeah. Left of centre, should I say. But did you go to the stadium like Rooker Park? Saying that Rooker Park was knocked down what? A while ago now. Yeah, now I'm really feeling old.
I don't even know if... Yeah.
Yeah, a while ago.
I wasn't here at the time.
You weren't here. Unfortunately, yeah. I was. But did you go to the stadium like growing up and stuff? Do you have family or like big Sunderland fans? You're Sunderland born, I believe, is that right?
Yeah. My whole family's Sunderland. But I'm like, if there was a chance for me to go to a Sunderland match and I had nothing on the day, I would. But like, so back in under 12s, matches were on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So even if there wasn't...
You couldn't go.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Kind of lucky in a way.
Yeah.
From my side anyway. I wish I had something else to do on a Saturday, I'll tell you that. And sort of just to finish, it's probably a difficult question and I'm asking you looking to the future again, but if there's one thing that you could change in the women's game over the next 10 years or one thing that you'd like to see change, what would it be and why?
Obviously media.
Yeah.
But from media, before media can be, like, it's hard because for there to be more media, there needs to be more supporters.
Yeah.
Or else the media is not going to gain anything from it. But then, like, which one goes first? Is it the supporters or is it the media? Because media gains supporters. So definitely more supporters, more media coverage. But for, I just think men's teams need to back the women's teams more.
Yeah.
And like they need to get behind teams. Like there's like for us, luckily, we are kind of getting backed, and if we get promoted this season, then we'll get like it'll be a huge boost for us. So and also like for it's quite sad for where Sunderland Ladies were and for them to be relegated twice.
Yeah, through no fault of their own as well.
Yeah, just not because of team performance, because I don't even think they were in relegation.
No,
in the
seventh,
league.
I think.
They weren't even in relegation.
Yeah, nowhere near.
They've somehow been relegated twice. It's quite unbelievable to say that, and it's because of funding, when really it shouldn't. It should be because of...
Performance,
and because of the league table.
Yeah.
So I don't think that should...
Ever
I don't think
again.
Funding should
yeah.
be... a factor on where your team stands.
Yeah.
It should be on performance.
Yeah, absolutely. Claudia, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
It's all right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.